Hi there, everyone, and welcome to Ragamuffin Radio. We're webcasting from our studio facility deep in the south of England countryside. Great to have you along for company. Sat alongside me here this evening at the production desk, my very good friend and musical buddy, Miscreant Mike Plumley.
How are we doing, Bri? It's cracking out here in the showers, isn't it? The sunny showers today. Hope everybody's well out there in their own showers too.
Absolutely beautiful day today.
This program is the very first in a new series titled simply Ragamuffin Rambles, where we both join our musical friends and performers, travel in the road and explore the countryside, music, history as it presents itself upon our travels. For this very first program in this new series, we're off to the northeast of England, to Middlesbrough, Teesside, the North Yorkshire Moors, where we discovered an acoustic musical tradition rich in history and variety. And what better way to smooth a 4-hour journey north by road than to cruise the English highways and byways to the music of Billy and Harry. They're playing No One Will Ever Know. Well, it's been an easy, relaxed 4-hour road trip up from the south, through the Midlands and into the northeast of the country. For the particular benefit of our American friends, we're currently arrived in Middlesbrough on Teesside and about to set out upon the 30-mile journey east and slightly south, away from the River Tees, heading up and over the edge of the North Yorkshire Moors to the picturesque fishing port of Whitby. And having found a place to park the car alongside the harbour quay, we'll grab our shoulder bags and sound recording gear and make our way across the harbour square, past the tourist centre, and wander along the edge of the inner harbour into the outer harbour basin, into Pier Road and along the quayside. You know, Whitby must be the pearl of the northeast. A picturesque, bustling place, the River Esk tumbling down from the North Yorkshire Moors National Park. There are narrow streets which awake in spring and summer to the hordes of tourists exploring the alleyways and an intriguing, almost secretive shopping centre. The derelict abbey, the ruins casting a haunting image across the high ground upon the southern bank of the estuary. The blustery, penetrating, endless north wind which colours the cheeks and makes you want to draw your coats a little closer for warmth. Out there, the North Sea, dark and brooding, often very unforgiving. The music carried in the wind and the warm lights of a quayside pub beckons us and we step through the door into the warmth, order a pint and settle back into the well-worn trestles to enjoy the cosy, warm atmosphere and the traditional music.
Thank you.
In the corner of the bar, busy at their music, a group of local performers entertaining the patrons with a fine selection of sea shandies, hornpipes and other traditional music of the sea. These are all local players, known collectively as the Stormy Weather Boys: Ron Angel, Steve Dawes, Richard Granger, John Lawson, John Rennie and Mike Shorter, whilst the two ladies part of this musical group, Helen Pitt and Joy Rennie, maintain a short order and add their own considerable musical skills to the proceedings. The warmth of the bar, the gentle conversation of the customers and the music creates an indelible picture in my mind. Whitby is particularly well known for three of its famous sons, the most famous probably being Captain James Cook, a master mariner, a noted explorer, he who discovered Australia. A story best told in song, with the crystal clear voice of Helen Pitt, harmonised by her performing partner Steve Dawes, and backed by the well-balanced tones of the Stormy Weather Boys, in a song written by Ron Angel called James Cook of Cleveland.
10,000 faces underneath the abbey, and Cook's proud features watching still the sea. All strained aside the sails, expectors looming, ringing home the spoils of history.
Of all the lads on Martin, there's one who stands out clear. Of all the men in Cleveland, he's known both far and near. Some of the North salute him, a giant in a stand. His death because King George to weep, and all his mighty land. His father came from Scotland, his mom was Cleveland born. For the labouring people were able, the gentry did them scorn. Their boy who grew to glory was born to know acclaim. For James there was no silver spoon to help him to his fame. Of all the lads of Martin, there's one who stands out clear. Of all the men in Cleveland, he's known both far and near. Son of the North salute him, a giant he does stand. His death did cause King George to weep, and all his mighty band. The village school he had to leave before so very long, to labour with his father, although he was so young. Prentice to a grocer at the age of 17 years. By 80 he had left his trade to start his great career. Of all the lads of Martin, there's one who stands out clear. Of all the men in Cleveland, he's known both far and near. Son of the North salute him, a giant he does stand. His death did cause King George to weep, and all his mighty band. On the sturdy ships of Whitby, he learned to navigate. He learned the art of seamanship that was to make him great. Then in the Royal Navy, he proved himself in war. He was like a father to his troop, is known both far and near. Sons of an old solution, a giant he does stand. He's dead because King George should weep, and all this mighty land. His skill in navigation brought praise from all of the Lord. His feats of exploration, his genius did denote. Only the great Lord Nelson was loved as much as he. The son of a Cleveland laborer was a prince of all the sea. Of all the lads of Martin, there's one who stands out clear. Of all the men in Cleveland, he's known both far and near. Son of the North Solution, a giant he does stand. His death it caused King George to weep, and all his mighty band. His death it caused King George to weep, and all this mighty land.
Wasn't that absolutely delightful? Helen Pitt and Steve Dawes singing a song written by Ron Angel. James Cook of Cleveland, it was called, with the Stormy Weather Boys providing harmony and support. It's from their album Hopes and Heroes and is available through the links on this website. Another two famous sons of Whitby were William Scoresby, another master mariner, Arctic explorer, and a whaler of great reputation. He was the man who invented the crow's nest aboard sailing ships, and alongside the quay, a fitting memorial to this famous mariner of years past. Which brings us to modern day, and the last in a trilogy of Whitby folk heroes. His name? Captain Jack. Now I could tell you all the story of this rascally mariner from Whitby, but it's a story best told by my musical partner, Miscreant Mike, in a tape recording which he made in 1998, and which has laid covered in dust in a cupboard for the past 4 years, only to find a contribution in this program.
Staying on a nautical course for a moment, lovely little article in Time Out about 2 weeks ago about an old friend and hero of ours, Captain Jack from Whitby. Captain Jack, you will recall, was the owner of the Helga Maria, 60-foot, two-masted schooner. And at 63, sat on his boat in Whitby Harbour one day, decided that, instead of shooting the breeze around the bay, that he would go off and travel 1,300 miles to the Arctic island of Jan Mayen Island to lay a plaque for a famous local fisherman and whaler called William Scoresby. And he gathered around him two elderly widows, Pat and Edna, a 68-year-old welder, Eric, a big Scotsman, Dave, who he'd met at a bus stop, and the local vicar, Reverend Paul Burkett. Then he organised Linda Jackson to run the communications from the caravan site. Of course, rules and regulations intervened, and border trade swamped down on him and inspected the boat and said it didn't come up to regulations. There wasn't enough sand in the fire buckets. The whistle was a Danish one and not an English one, and the bow was 4 inches too short from the regulation bow. So, invariably, Captain Jack spent 1,600 quid to put all this right and got ready to sail, but he couldn't sail without a certificate. And the man from the ministry said he'd have to wait, or he'd have to pay so much per hour to get a guy up there immediately. Well, in the end, Jack gave up on bureaucracy, and as you know from the story that I read in Clear Spot in 1992, He set sail with his motley crew, and under the shadow of the fishing fleet going out one night, they disappeared in July 91, went to sea and caused an absolute ruckus. They had the Coast Guard, they had 14 nations alerted to pick them up and arrest them, and they had an HMS destroyer combing the Arctic for them, trying to find them. Well, they managed to avoid all this, and the communications worked because they kept the radio off. And when Captain Jack wanted to make contact with Whitby, he got up to the Shetland Isles, moored the boat, went to a local phone box and phoned Linda Jackson at the caravan site to find out what was going on. Then when he wanted some supplies, he contacted a Shetland friend who invariably sailed out to meet him and gave him supplies on the boat. And as you'll know, that they made the journey successfully and came home. Captain Jack was fined heavily. The whole event cost him $10,000, but wasn't in vain, because that's the kind of guys we need. And it's of interest because Bob Hoskins is in Whitby at the moment filming a film about Captain Jack's adventure. Unfortunately, the weekend that they picked to start the filming, there was a goth festival in Whitby with The Crazy World of Arthur Brown headlining, and they had scores of people looking around the boat in goth gear. They had the local fair banging away and interrupting filming, and the film director was shouting to the crowd to be quiet, and one of the goths looked up and said, "It's good to talk."
In South Australia I was born.
Heave away, haul away.
In South Australia, round Cape Horn.
We're bound to South Australia.
Haul away, you rolling king. Heave away, haul away. Haul away, you'll hear me sing. We're bound to South Australia. As I walked out one morning fair.
Heave away, haul away.
Was there I met Miss Nancy Blair.
We're bound to South Australia.
Haul away, you rolling king. Heave away, haul away. All the way you'll hear me sing, we're bound for South Australia. I shook her up, I shook her down.
Heave away, all the way.
I shook her around and around the town.
We're bound for South Australia.
All the way you rolling king.
Heave away, all the way.
All the way you'll hear me sing, we're bound for South Australia. There's only one thing grieves my mind.
Heave away, all the way.
To leave Miss Nancy Blair behind.
We're bound for South Australia.
All the way you rolling king.
Heave away, all the way.
All the way you'll hear me sing, we're bound for South Australia. And as we wallop around Cape Horn,
heave away, all the way.
He'll wish to God he had never been born.
We're bound for South Australia.
All the way you rolling king,
heave away, all the way.
All the way you'll hear me sing, we're bound for South Australia. In South Australia I was born.
Heave away, all the way.
In South Australia, round Cape Horn.
We're bound for South Australia.
All the way you rolling king.
Heave away, all the way.
All the way you'll hear me sing, we're bound for South Australia. All the way you rolling king.
Heave away, all the way.
All the way you'll hear me sing, we're bound for South Australia.
You've just been listening to South Australia Bound, again from the album Hopes and Heroes, performed by Helen Pitt and Steve Dawes, with the Stormy Weather Boys in support vocals. The warmth of the pub bar and some wonderful music hold me in this place like a magnet. But time pushes on apace, and it's now time for us to leave this welcoming inn. Through the doors we step, and out into Pier Road again, and return our steps towards the main square and the inner harbour. We wander slowly through this bustling thoroughfare, jostling tourists, seeking all a better view as local fishermen offload catches which they've just landed on the tide. Then, as we wander along Pier Road, I can hear music being played, and a crowd gathers to listen. Older folks sit back on flowerbed borders and wooden seats. They take an opportunity to draw a second breath There's mum with toddlers in pushchairs, and they pause in their shopping. And teenagers gaze on and listen, somewhat intrigued, to the sounds of Celtic music being played in the streets of Whitby. There's a crouched over figure with his back to the crowds, feet up upon a car battery, picking a mandolin with a high degree of skill. Crocodile clips jump power leads to a portable amplifier set upon a hand trolley. An acoustic guitarist deftly picks an accompaniment, whilst another player, upon an Irish whistle, rings a lilting tune into a microphone set up on a stand. His part's very well played. This is wonderful stuff, busking at its very best. I close my eyes and dream of the music of Ireland and that famous traditional band, the Furies and Davy Arthur. Give us another tune, shout the crowd, and I ask this group of travelling players to play the Green Field of France, or as some prefer to call it, the Flowers of the Forest. The seagulls wheel and cry in the sky above me. I relax back upon the granite surroundings of the civic flower display. The sun shines outside the bank. And you know what? God is high in my musical heaven. ¶¶ are this group of wandering players? Better known in Whitby as Freedom's Road, Cliff, Andy and Jock, a Celtic instrumental band, and what a wonderful musical sound they produce. Do you know, I could sit back here for hours and relax while listening to their music, but the sands of time run fast, and we must buy up a copy of their CD album. It's called Strings Classics 1, and slowly wend our way back to the car. Up the hill, away from the harbour side, and we leave Whitby, meet the rising ground, head westward into the North Yorkshire moors, across the top along the Guisborough Road, into the National Park, before heading south towards Grosmont, and a complete change in both scenery and musical interest. Guess where we are now and what draws us to this place. This is Grosmont, the start-off point for the North Yorkshire Steam Railway Preservation Society, probably the most successful preservation steam railway in the country. I have to confess, this is all new to me and my travelling companions. Picturesque stone-built stations, decked in flowers of every kind and colour. It's a chocolate box picture, signal boxes reconstructed from railways and times long past. Steam belching gargantuans dwarf the tourists and travelling folks like us. This is film set material used in the television series as a backdrop for the Yorkshire TV Heartbeat and the film series Harry Potter. The line now runs from Grosmont down the Newton Dale Valley to Pickering. It's a distance of almost 18 miles. We purchase our tickets from an original, almost Victoriana ticket office. About £20, $34 equivalent, secures two seats for the return journey. On the front of the train, in full steam, the 34027 Southern Railway West Country Class 462, named the Tor Valley. It was built in Brighton in 1946 and rebuilt in my hometown of Eastleigh in 1957. We all stand back in admiration for this beautifully restored steam mammoth. It's from a previous era. I laugh really as little kids hide with some fear and trepidation, peeking from behind mum's skirts at this big monster of steam power. The shutters of 100 cameras action in unison, and with a warning sound of the steam whistle and the cries of the train guard, "All aboard, all aboard," the slamming of doors, and we enter an almost surreal world of steam travel within a modern age, as slowly but definitely we ease from the Grosmont platform, heading south to Goathland and the Newton Dale. This is the North Yorkshire National Park. The sun streams across the hilltops. Heather colours purple amongst a million shades of green. Barren moor tops, picturesque tree bedecked valleys, flat endless peat bogs, and me, well, I dream the history and the music of steam travel.
I am a navvy bold, let's tramp the country round, sir, to get a job of work where any can be found, sir. I left my native farm, my friends and my relations, to ramble up and down and work in various stations. I'm a navvy, don't you see, I'm a navvy in my prime. I'm a nipper, I'm a tipper, and I'm working on the line. I left my native home on the first day of September, that memorable day, it's well I do remember. I bundled up my kit Sunday smock and cap would answer, and wherever I do go, folks call me Happy Jack, sir. I'm a navvy, don't you see? I'm a navvy in the prime. I'm a nipper, I'm a tipper, and I'm working on the line. I've got a job of work in the lovely town of Bury, and working on the line is the thing that makes me merry. I can use me pick and spade, likewise me old wheelbarrow. I can court the lasses too, but I don't intend to marry. I'm a navvy, don't you see? I'm a navvy in me prime. I'm a nipper, I'm a tipper, and I'm working on the line. I worked a fortnight there, and then it come to payday, and when I got me wages, I thought I'd have a playday, and then a little spree in the High Street went quite handy. I sat myself in Jenkinson's alongside Fanny Brandy. I'm a navvy, don't you see? I'm a navvy in my prime. I'm a nipper, I'm a tipper, and I'm working on the line. I called for a pint of beer, and I bid the wench to drink, sir. But while she was a-drinking, she too at me did wink, sir. Well, then we had some talk, in the back we had a rally. Then jumped at brush and steel, and agreed that we'd live tally. I'm a navvy, don't you see? I'm a navvy in me prime. I'm a nipper, I'm a tipper, and I'm working on the line. We call for liquor freely, the jug went round and round, sir. It being me wedding day, I spent full of many a crown, sir. And when me brass was done, old Fanny went out catching, and to finish up me spree, well, I went and sloped me lodgings. I'm a navvy, don't you see? I'm a navvy in me prime. I'm a nipper, I'm a tipper, and I'm working on the line. Well, now I'm going to leave the lovely town of Bury. I'm sorry for to leave you, lad, I've always found you merry. Call for liquor freely, I drank away me dandy. Here's a health to Happy Jack, and likewise Fanny Brandy. I'm a navvy, don't you see? I'm a navvy in me prime. I'm a nipper, I'm a tipper, and I'm working on the line. I'm a navvy, don't you see? I'm a navvy in me prime. I'm a nipper, I'm a tipper, and I'm working on the line.
That was an old traditional song of the steam railways called Navvy on the Line, sung by an amazing six-piece folk group by the name of Live Steam, all volunteer workers and associated with the Furness Railway Trust across the Pennines in Cumberland. This particular track is taken from their tape album called Now Don't Laugh Now, Down the Pan But Still Steaming. It's a story and song telling of the antics of one of the marauding band of men who moved from one railway construction to another, gathering women and hangovers along the way. There's something about steam travel that becomes music to the ears. The repetitive beat of steel wheels being driven along iron rails, the backdrop of the wonderful scenery of the North Yorkshire Moors National Park. It lulls the senses and it relaxes the mind. It's poetry in motion. The rhythm of the music counterpoints to the sound of heavy steam as we roll gently downward towards Gotham. The wheels sing loud on the railroad track, the rhythm of steam, an endless dream. As we cross over valley and stream, the sounds that beat, that taps your feet, the smiles of folks that once we meet, the soot, the grime, the passing time. As south we head along the line, by iron rail and tree-lined vale, steaming down the Newton Down. Whistles blow and smoke stacks glow, as down to Pickering we go. Is this a dream, an endless scheme? We journey on our way in steam.
Mm-hmm. my name is Alice White, I'd have you all to know. I left my father's farm a long time ago. My mother called me a silly lass and said I'd rue the day that I followed on the heels of the navvies. My first man, Dandy Jack, was handsome, young and fine, and I loved him right through England as we tramped from line to line. We lived in shanty houses with lodgers and children free, and I worked to fill the needs of the navvies. When Dandy Jack was killed beneath a fall of stone, I wept and cursed the day that ever I was born. But the children needed feeding, and many men looked at me, so I jumped the brush to stay with the navvies. Time came, I was deserted when we children numbered five. So I took me yet another man to keep us all alive. And now I've known so many men, they called me Alice Free, as I've lived my life. And now I'm getting old and grey before my time, with the work and the childbearing as we've tramped from line to line. But I'll never forget poor Dandy Jack, lying so cold in his grave. He's the only one
Alice White, one of the most poignant and moving songs that you're ever likely to hear about the hardships of being a navvy's wife in the earliest days of railway construction. Not only beautifully poignant, this song appears traditional, but in truth was written in 1970 by Alan Bell and is considered by many to be an English folk classic. Sung on this occasion by the Cumbrian folk group Live Steam, with Liz Moore singing lead. 1 hour and 5 minutes later, at an almost leisurely pace, we steam slowly into Pickering Terminus Station, the end of the North Yorkshire Steam Railway. We have an hour to spare before our return journey, time to wander this charming village on the southern edge of the North Yorkshire Moors, get a pie from the bakery shop and a pint of beer in one of the village inns, sit alongside the village stream and feed the assortment of ducks and wild birds, and browse the seemingly endless number of craft and bookshops. This is a peaceful place, the end of the line. Our return journey to Grosmont via Levisham and Gothlin takes us through what must surely be some of the most breathtaking scenery in the whole of the northeast of England, and I find myself sharing a carriage with a mixed group of travellers, most of whom are avid steam railway enthusiasts. What an interesting and a merry bunch they are. And as we pull from the platform at Gothlin, one of the youngsters in this group bursts into song with a mischievous rendition of another humorous steam railway song, and everyone in the carriage joins in with a hearty chorus.
Thank you. Tosha Bailey had an engine, it was always needing mending, and according to her power, she could do 4 miles an hour. Did you ever see, did you ever see, did you ever see such a funny thing before? Tosha bought her second hand, and he painted her so grand. When the driver went to oil her, man, she nearly burst her boiler. Did you ever see, did you ever see, did you ever see such a funny thing before? On the night run up from Gower, she went 20 miles an hour. As she whistled through the station, man, she frightened half the nation. Did you ever see, did you ever see, did you ever see such a funny thing before? Oh, the sight it was heart-rending, Tosha drove his little engine. He got stuck half through the tunnel and went up the blooming funnel. Did you ever see, did you ever see, did you ever see such a funny thing before? Tosha stuck his rod and tube brush up the boiler with such vigour that he got the bugger stuck, and now the tubes have locked forever. Did you ever see, did you ever see, did you ever see such a funny thing before? Well, he'd like to run to time, but he hasn't got the line. Not a single signal's working, and the P-Way guy are shirking. Did you ever see, did you ever see, did you ever see such a funny thing before? Now his fire's nearly out, there's no water in the glass. Still the guard, he blows his whistle, what a bloomin' silly ass. Did you ever see, did you ever see, did you ever see such a funny thing before? Tosha Bailey, he did die, in the coffin he did lie. But at last there came a knocking, Tosha Bailey only joking. Did you ever see, did you ever see, did you ever see such a funny thing before?
Tosha Bailey, a song borrowed from the Welsh tradition and again sung with infectious enthusiasm by that Cumbrian group of folkies, Live Steam. It's been a wonderful day travelling through the North Yorkshire moors. Beautiful scenery, colourful, friendly people for company. New places to see, new music to hear, and plenty, plenty of nostalgia. Time only remains now to collect the car at Grosmont, say a hearty farewell and a thank you to newfound fellow travellers. Discover the Moortops Road and head north and west towards Teesside, for we have a musical appointment to keep this very evening in the town of Middlesbrough. It was the American singer-songwriter Bob Dylan who penned the song with the immortal words, "The times, they are a-changing." And nowhere are these words seen to be more true than through and across the Teesside area of Yorkshire. In the late 50s and 60s, this was an area synonymous with staple traditional industries, chemical processing, shipbuilding, coal mining, and steelworking, to mention just a few. But by the mid-60s, the wind of economic change had blown aside tradition. Industries that had supported local families for generations were in fast decline. Unemployment hung like the sword of Damocles over the whole region, and family breadwinners, desperate for work, began looking towards the then prosperous economies of other European countries like Germany for work. It was desperately sad times for many families throughout the Teesside region. A story told to me that evening whilst I sat in a local pub in Middlesbrough enjoying a beer with local singer-songwriter John Calvert. John is a plater, formerly working in the shipbuilding industry, nowadays plying his trade in a more modern arena, plating, building and repairing oil rigs for North Sea oil and gas exploration. He told me how, along with hundreds of other fellow workers in the 60s from the Teesside, he was forced to travel to Germany to seek work in the Hamburg shipyards as part of what we call the Auf Wiedersehen Pet Exodus. And then with the guitar laid across his knees, he sang for me one of the most poignant songs from this period in his life that I will ever be privileged to hear.
Oh, the lights of Hamburg Harbor are shining down on me, and the girls in the windows are smiling at me. But I am all alone and far from my home, where my home used to be. And the ships in the harbor are sailing out to sea. Oh, how I wish they were taking me over the water and back to the sea, to where my home used to be. Oh, the hours they are long and the work it is hard here in this German shipyard. There's no work to be had back there across the sea, back where my home used to be. And we speak on Sunday upon the phone. She tells me the news back there from home. I say hi to the kids and then they're gone, gone where my home used to be. And the ships in the harbor are sailing out to sea. Know how I wish they were taking me over the water and back to the sea, where my home. By the church of San Miguel, she stood beneath the light. When I walked near, her eyes, they shone bright. A touch of human kindness in the coldness of the night. She said, you come home with me. No, I won't come home with you, but I'll take you for a coffee or a beer or two. Talk about our families, yes, and our homes too, back where our homes used to be. And the ships in the harbor are sailing out to sea. Know how I wish they were taking me over the water and back to the sea, to where my home used to be. From a Czech border town, she'd come to the west to walk these streets of gold and be blessed with riches and wealth. God, be poor like the rest, back where her home used to be. And she writes to her mother that she's okay. She works in an office and she's well paid. She sends some money home every fourth Friday to where her home used to be. And the ships in the harbor are sailing out to sea. Know how I wish they were taking me over the water and back to the sea, to where my home used to be. Like two lost lovers in the middle of the night, we smiled across a table lit by candlelight, sharing our secrets until the morning light would dawn where our homes used to be. And she knows deep inside she'll never return to the place of her birth, for which her heart yearns. For the gypsy in her soul has made her heart turn where her home used to be. And the ships in the harbour are sailing out to sea. Know how I wish they were taking me over the water and back to the tin, where my home used to be. Well, we said our goodbye and we went on our way. Through strange city streets we both did stray, back to our memories and that lonely highway that leads from where your home used to be. So spare thought for the soldier and the sailor too, the gypsy, the tramp, the people passing through, the refugees, the dispossessed who are longing to return to where their homes used to be. And the ships in the harbour are sailing out to sea. Know how I wish they were taking me over the water and back to the tin, where my home used to be. Where my home used to be. Where my home used to be.
That was a song called simply Hamburg, a haunting and poignant picture drawn, explaining the loneliness and the singular existence of migrant workers from the Teesside working the Hamburg shipyards in the late 60s. A story of almost desperate longing for home, family and friends, and a perfect illustration of the strong bond which developed amongst those migrant workers as they travelled Europe in the 60s looking for work. And again, for the benefit of our American listeners, an explanation is due. Auf Wiedersehen, Pet was a highly popular television program based upon the very history of this migration of workers from the northeast of England in the 60s, and told the story of how an assorted bunch of construction workers from the northeast, mainly around Newcastle, met up upon a construction site in Germany and their adventures thereafter, recently revived by BBC Television, when a somewhat older but just as outrageous group of Geordies reunite and end up selling the Middlesbrough Transporter Bridge to native Indians in Arizona. Curiosity gnaws at my thinking, and the following morning I have to find my way down to the site of the Middlesbrough Transporter and reconcile the difference between fact and fiction, and ensure that the bridge is really still there, spanning the gap north to south across the Tees. The history of Teesside and the northeast has always rightly been depicted as a hard and a harsh working environment. Times are hard is a phrase all too often heard in the past years in the northeast. But the native folks of these parts, better known as Geordies, are resilient, warm, rough, tough, but ready folk, extremely adaptable to the passing and changing times, and everything and anything that life may throw at them. They have an almost endless optimism. Their spirit is never subdued. Never better illustrated than in another song written by local singer-songwriter John Calvert, simply called The Teesside Buccaneers.
My name's Tommy Clark, a plater by trade. For 25 years I've toiled and I've slaved. Me pockets are empty, me bank balance too. But I know now what I'm gonna do. I'll take to the oceans, I'll sail the high seas. I'll bring contraband right back to the Tees. Cause I'm sick of working and being on me knees. I'll become a buccaneer. And it's Randy for Andy who lives down the road, and it's Baggy for Jackie the sea rolls his own, and it's Stella for Bella for she likes a beer from the Teesside Buccaneer. Well, I sail a fine frigate, a white transit van, and she is all part of me maritime plan. I'll sail down to Dover and on to Ostend, and I'll fill me hold up with gold for me friend. For the galleon I sink, she only has one sail. For the SS Cash and Carry, that is her name. And then it's back to Blighty on the motorway main. For the Teesside Buccaneer. And it's Brandy for Andy, who lives down the road. And it's Backy for Jackie, cause he rolls his own. And it's Stella for Bella, for she likes a beer from the Teesside Buccaneer. Well, my maiden voyage, it went like a dream. The revenue men were nowhere to be seen. I sailed on through customs and on to the quay, and I drove back to Borough at double quick speed. The sour lass was waiting, the customers too. Just get rid of me cargo, I'll sell some to you. I tripled me money, was so easy to do, for the Teesside Buccaneer. And it's Brandy for Andy, who lives down the road. And it's Baggy for Jackie, cause she rolled his own. And it's Stella for Bella, cause she likes a beer from the Teesside Buccaneer. Well, that was a while ago, how things have grown. I now wear a Manny and a Porsche I own, with a fine fleet of frigates and a brave healthy crew, who sail the South Channel and the North Sea too. Well, they call me a smuggler, they call me a crook, but I never got nothing for the taxes they took. And now I'm a free man, I don't give a fuck, I'm the Teesside Buccaneer. And it's Brandy for Andy, who lives down the road. And it's Baggy for Jackie, cause he rolls his own. And it's Stella for Bella, for she likes a beer from the Teesside Buccaneer. From the Teesside, yes, the Teesside Buccaneer.
You know, only a son of the Northeast could write such a song, containing humour and an endless optimism that makes the best of a bad situation, laughing at oneself if you like. I feel very privileged to have met up with John Carver, a true son of the Northeast, and an extremely talented singer-songwriter, I might add. I asked him from where most of his ideas for his songs had originated, and he explained. He told me that his work as a plater means that much of his time is spent working whilst wearing noise reduction earmuffs. It puts you in your own little world, he said, away from the endless noise of jackhammers, rivet guns, steam hammers and presses. It gives me the chance to write down in my mind the lyrics and melodies for more songs of my native Northeast. He casually mentioned that about 2 years ago he had gone into a studio and recorded about 14 mainly self-penned songs into a demo album, but had never bothered to develop the idea further. Now I have to tell you listeners that both of the songs that I have played in this program, the first called Hamburg and the second the Teesside Buccaneers, have both been taken from that demo album. I'm sure you will agree that John really should make an effort to finalize this album, to be able to share more of his wonderful music of the Northeast with us other acoustic music enthusiasts worldwide. And I'll advise you listeners as soon as this album becomes freely available. Well, We have now been travelling through the North Yorkshire region for about a week. Wherever we have travelled, a warm and friendly welcome has been our invitation to extend our stay. These are friendly, genuine folk, steeped in family traditions, proud of their heritage, buoyant in their adversity. Their music paints authentic pictures of their traditions as it springs and flows from their history and the events of their everyday living. To all of the folk that we met travelling upon this Ragamuffin Ramble, our grateful thanks for your hospitality and warmth of welcome. To the numerous musicians, singer-songwriters who have contributed to this programme, our musical respects and deep gratitude. Hopefully, we have justified your contributions. And now, in the same way in which all fine songs reach an ending, we too have come to the end of this Ragamuffin Ramble. Turning the car towards the south, and once again, with the music of Harry and Billy ringing in our ears, we head southbound towards home and our own families and friends in and around Eastleigh. The words of the song says, "We shall never know." Well, perhaps we may in our next Ragamuffin Ramble. From Brian the Old Silver Fox and his musical travelling companion, Miscreant Mike, safe journeys and a lot of sweet, sweet music to you all.
Yep, good night, folks. Have a good one.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
Good night.